All right. Welcome to episode 37 of the Al and Josh Show. This is Al Vins coming at you from a new studio. Got my good friend Josh Raymond on the line. How you doing, Josh?
I'm good, Al. You'll have to excuse me if there's a little bit of in and out tonight because of my internet access is a little hit or miss.
Well, we're actually going double grain bin tonight, right? We're bouncing off every grain bin in Southeast Metro. We've been trying to get together for almost a week now. We've got some stuff we want to talk about. The season's underway. Got a big try this weekend. We got several other topics we want to touch on. And it just has not worked out. I was down in Lincoln this weekend and got held up down there. And then part of the reason I got held up is I brought home a new puppy to take care of for just a little bit here. And so I had two puppies plus good old Rocky in the house last night. And they went about 180 miles an hour for most of the night. And so we decided we're going to do this one via Zoom, right? Which means not only do we have the three puppies in my house, two puppies and a dog, we've also got Dolly and Zip as possible entrants to the show this week, right?
Yeah, and I'd be willing to bet Zip will make an appearance in the background. I mean, almost guaranteed, because he's 17 years old and he's seen Dolly and he just barks randomly for no reason. So,
hey, which is awesome. I actually last year had somebody I was talking to about the show. And they said, no, I love the show. It's great. All this stuff. He goes, one of my favorite parts is when the dogs go nuts in the background and we get to hear some stories about them. So we've over doubled our dog count for this episode. It's kind of something new for us.
You know, and not only did we over double our dog count, we had another reason we weren't able to get together in Studio 2 to do this was the Packers game, right, Al?
This was not in my pre-show notes, Josh. You're going off script on me right off the bat.
Well, I just want people to, you know, people don't realize that you're a huge Packers fan. So we texted back and forth.
I'm not just a fan, Josh. I'm an owner.
He is for our few listeners out there, he is actually an owner. And
I have a voting share.
We could not decide on a time to do the podcast, get together and do the podcast after the Packers game, because if the Packers won, I was going to be not that much fun to be around. And if the Packers lost, Al was not going to be that much fun to be around. So we just skipped it.
Right.
And we decided before the game ended that would be best, before the game started.
True. We actually did discuss that specifically. On the upside, we did not have a similar tussle with emotions about the Vikings game this weekend.
We did not. You're welcome. See that? Saved us an argument.
Oh, thanks, Zim. We really appreciate it. Although I did see some former Vikings on the field this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a few of them.
That's
out
right.
There.
You guys didn't need them.
We didn't need them. No, they're not. Son of a gun. Okay, let's talk wrestling.
All right, yeah, something much better. All right, so we got a variety of topics we want to talk about tonight, and we're just going to jump through a few of them here. How about right off the bat, Josh, you were down in Tulsa not too long ago, were you not?
Yeah, was that, today's a week ago now?
Right.
No, two weeks. And you know, we've been going down there. You and I have both been down there plenty of times, and we've seen it's basically its own world of wrestling, right? It's just some of the results, some of the skill levels, and some of the parents are just crazy.
Tear gas,
yeah, just security. It's just wild. This year it was pretty mild, considering, you know, the years past, but the thing that caught my eye was the number of kids competing there from Minnesota. And we usually focus on high school stuff, right? Now, I don't know. I think you got to break down like 80% of what we talk about ends up being high school, a little college. And but we're going to talk just a little youth here for a little bit, if that's all right with you.
Yeah. Awesome.
You know, there was like 55 to 60 kids from Minnesota competing down there.
Wow,
And
that's great.
I don't ever remember numbers like that before. And I've probably been going for, I don't know, 10, 11 years, something like that. And they're just, it was crazy because so people, you know, kids are down there wrestling with their clubs. Like Pinnacle Wrestling School had 30, you know, roughly 30 kids down there competing. Minnesota Elite had right around 20. And then, you know, the thing that I thought was kind of the most interesting was St. Michael Albertville had, I believe, 14.
You know, you
I'd never
mentioned that.
seen.
That's crazy. I mean, that is a huge chunk of kids to go all the way to Tulsa in the off season, right when high school's kicking off too, right? Because there's families with older and younger kids and everything else. It's a long trip, and like you say, we've both made it a bunch, but you know, it's not something easy to do always, right? It takes some planning and a bunch of time and a little money, and to see one high school program or one school program take down over 10 or 12 kids is really impressive.
Yeah, I've never seen it before, and I'm not sure, you know, if I'm guessing maybe Mike Thorne is
Sure.
maybe the driving force. You know, I meant to ask him a little bit about it, but he was busy coaching, and his son Jackson was down there wrestling. I think Jackson maybe lost in the blood round, and there was actually a number of kids that lost in the blood round. You know, just heartbreaking.
And how big were the brackets this year, Josh?
You know, to be honest, Al, it's hard for me to say because of they're on Flow Arena, and
Right.
I just struggle to read that those brackets. But I would say, you know, the average has got to be a 64 man bracket. You know,
Sure.
in the main, you know, kind of like if you're looking at like, let's just say 12U. 92 pounds. That's kind of right around that average. You know, a kid from
Right.
Watertown, Mayor Caleb Mead, I think he had like a 64 man bracket, and he's another one who he you know he had a great tournament, but he lost in the blood round. Braden Boots, a kid from St. Francis, I watched wrestle a couple matches on there, super tough. You probably see these two guys in their varsity lineups next year. He had a huge bracket. It seemed like he could have been wrestling all day, and then I tried to look, and I think he was maybe two or three matches from the blood round.
Oh,
It
wow.
was, yeah, so the brackets were not any smaller than in years past, if you're wondering.
Right. That was kind of what I was getting at. For people who don't know a lot about Tulsa, those brackets down there are times when they'll have 70, 80 kids, and all of a sudden, someone loses in the first round or two and has like an 8 or 9 match stretch in front of them to start sniffing medals.
Yeah, they're crazy, man. And then they have a true second. For people that don't know, they also have a true second match. So you can get into that loser side and you can come all the way back and take second. And it is just an I mean, if you do that, you're a stud for sure, but it's one heck of a grind.
Oh man.
You know, and I certainly could be missing people. I was just kind of taking notes as I was there. But it looks
Sure.
like we had, you know, maybe let's see here, 4, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, roughly 12 kids placed down there.
Nice.
I think we had one champion, Lincoln Robidoux out of St. Michael Albertville. He,
And was that his first time winning
no, he's
that?
won it before. Yeah, he's won. He's got a couple of them eagles on his trophy shelf at home. His little brother took fourth, Lachlan Robidoux. I think Lincoln was 85 pounds and Lachlan was like 75.
Sure.
Axel Rogatsky, it's a name we know. He took fifth at 100 pounds. Noah Barkowitz took third. Trey Beisel out of Hastings, he took fifth. Callie Graber, she took second in the boys and first in the girls. And actually, the girls division, you know what? I'm going to stop for a second, Al, and give a little shout out to one of our sponsors, Jason Ellsmore, Ellsmore Plumbing out of Rochester. Give him a call for all your plumbing needs in and around the Rochester area. He's always real good about sponsoring girls stuff, Al, so I got to throw that in there.
Yeah.
There actually was six girl wrestlers that I know of competing down there, and four of them placed.
Lauren well, I know one that was a victim of some questionable refereeing, Josh oh, Raymond, so. In the semifinals. I watched a match.
Yeah.
And it was actually, I didn't expect to see this wrestler competing in that bracket because it was 100 pounds, which is up a little bit from what I've seen in the past, which is awesome news. Yeah, Charlie was in the semis and wrestling awesome, right? And she ended up having a girl in a tilt, and I saw the referee slap the mat, and then some confusion ensued.
So that is very close to being accurate, except for the tilt part. She had her
cradle.
Yeah. And so she got called for a defensive fall, and you know, as a bummer for her, and, you know, gosh, that hurt me, you know, watching it happen. I couldn't really see the pinning situation because they were away from us.
And the camera angle was not outstanding, but I have seen people get pinned when they have someone else in a cradle. I've seen it a number of times from different positions and angles, and the angle I saw did not show any of those I'm familiar with. It was not someone who let an arm slip through on a crossface cradle and post out. It was an odd situation, but I guess it is what it is, right?
So let me ask you this, Al. I had like 10 seconds to make, you know, like a coaching decision. You know, that was a semifinal. So you can throw down $100 right then and there and challenge the call. And I had a buddy of mine, you know, the first thing he said when I talked to him, he's like, I would have dropped $100.
So my question is, and you wouldn't know for sure at the time, but if the only angle they have is the angle that they're streaming, you'd have probably lost your $100. Even though it didn't look like a pin, it certainly, the angle was not great and distant, you know, the camera. So I don't know. I mean, that would have been a tough one from the one camera view they showed online. You couldn't really see much of anything, to be honest with you. And that's not the referee's fault, that, but it would have been hard to fix that or change that call based on what they were showing streaming. It just, the camera work was not, it was volunteer camera work. They were a distance and not a great angle.
Well, and I think if it's inconclusive, you get your $100 back. But I really just kind of was, it was one of them stages of the game where it's like, well, yeah, and like I say, I had like 10 seconds to figure this out. I doubt I even had $100 on. But I think there's just more, you know, like I told a buddy of mine, I think there's just more to learn from that.
Yeah.
By, you know, just living with it. And, you know, a kid can just learn a lot from that situation. Don't get me wrong, I don't love it, but like what they can do differently for the next time, you know, as opposed to me throwing out $100 and like, you know, trying to.
There's a lot to be said for that, right? Like, you know? Right. Exactly. Dad fixing a situation with $100 bill is a different lesson to learn. That would have been having that first place eagle, if that's the way it would have turned out in the finals, would be a cool thing to have on the shelf and down the road. But, you know, when Charlie wins a state title, we're not going to talk about whether she got first or third or fourth, you know, this year in down in Tulsa. Right. So
right.
I can totally get on board with. Yeah, that being a good learning experience, whether it was a good or bad call. We've talked about it. We've told Rod Frost, and he doesn't disagree with us, you know, you're going to get screwed by ref. If you wrestle enough, you will eventually get screwed by ref. That's just the way it works. You know, not necessarily intentionally, but there's going to be calls that go the other way that are unfavorable. Calls that are just flat out bad. So, yeah, that's probably a good call on your part. Just letting that go and suffering through the agony of that at the time and knowing that it'll, you know, hopefully pay dividends down the road.
Well, she was, you know, she immediately was ready to, she went into meltdown mode, and I know this much. One thing that would not have made the situation any better is if I would have went into meltdown mode.
Oh, for sure.
That would have not helped. So it was, you know, it's a good learning experience for her. Like, it definitely hurt, no doubt about it. And then, you know, she ended up taking fifth because, you know, the recovering in the Concy semis wasn't, you know.
Oh, that's a, we've talked about that. Do you want to be the person wrestling, you know, back for a true second or wrestling up from some Concy wins for a Concy semi or one that just takes a loss? And when you take a heartbreaking loss, so you don't at the time feel like it's deserved, you know, that's a tall order. So,
yeah, that was, so she took fifth. Lauren Elsmore, she's from Pine Island. She took fourth. She had a really nice tournament. Gigi Bragg, you know that name. She took third. She sang the national anthem down there on the first day.
Right.
And then Callie Graber took first, and even more incredible than her taking first, she also took second in the boys division.
Yeah, you mentioned that. That is nuts. I mean, that's super impressive. What weight class was that, Josh? You remember?
Well,
they could have been different weight classes. I get about, is that like a 60-ish, an 80-ish, 100-ish?
For girls, she was 91 because she was the weight class below Char. But boys, I don't remember. They're maybe like 88.
Sure.
I think there's a couple pounds difference.
Yeah.
No, you know what? It's 84, actually. 84 is the weight class that she took second in the boys division.
Wow, what a weekend, though.
Yeah, it was cool, man. She had a great weekend. There's a ton of tough kids there. I think another kid like Lawson Eller, he's an eighth grader from New Prague. He lost in the blood round, and he's a little too small to be on varsity this year, but like I think you'll see him knocking on the door next year if he grows a little bit more. He wrestled, did I tell you he wrestled 83 pounds?
You had not, but okay. Yeah, 83. So got another 10 pounds to go to get up into the bare minimum.
Yeah. He's a tough kid, man. There was just a bunch of them down there. The thing that I thought was probably most interesting was the coaches down there.
Yeah. So who all was down there?
Well, the guys I noticed that were either wearing gopher hats and or face masks were Jared Lawrence, Chad Erickson, Mike Thorne, and Jake Short. And I always like to throw you a trivia question every once in a while. Do you know how many state titles they have combined between them guys?
Oh, wow. Well, I guess we go four for him. I mean, there's got to be 12 or 14.
Yeah, there is 15. 15
wow.
State titles, those four guys. You know, and they all had pretty nice careers at the U of M, and it's pretty cool to see them, you know, giving back and helping develop the next wave of wrestlers. I don't know that there was any other state that was represented as well that I could tell down there.
Sure. Well, and look, you know, we've both spent a lot of time at corners, you more than me, in the last few years. It's not easy to coach 6, 8, 10 kids, say anything about 12 or 15 kids over the course of a weekend, like a Tulsa type weekend. You know, that's not light duty by those guys. That is a busy, busy weekend and a huge commitment getting all the way down there and then cornering a ton of kids. Like that's really impressive.
Well, especially down there, if you haven't been there before, wrestling starts at like 8 o'clock in the morning and gets over at like 10:30. And this year if it was getting over at 10:30, that was the earliest because they had it spread out more than usual for COVID.
Oh, sure.
And those guys are coaching all day.
All day long. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice work. That's good stuff.
That's about what I got for that tournament. I just thought it was kind of cool. And keep an eye on those kids, man. There's a ton of tough kids coming.
Yeah, that's sweet. That's good to know that Minnesota still keeps reloading here. So I mentioned I watched that semis match of Charlie's, and I watched other matches online, streaming, right? That's one thing this year, as we're almost 2 weeks into this season. There's a ton of matches available online, right? Like, how many different
Yeah.
events have you tuned into, high school events have you tuned into this year on your phone or your computer or iPad or TV approximately?
Well, oh God, total. It'd be hard to say. I know that, see, today's Tuesday. So a week ago Tuesday, I was watching on my TV. I had a Minnewaska try that was had Minnewaska, LPGE Browerville, and Bertha Hewitt, Ferndale, Parker's Prairie. That try was going on the TV. Then I had the Caston, Stuartville duel on my phone, and later that night, when I was getting closer to bed, I turned on the ACGC had a try, and that was on YouTube. I watched that try with them and JCC on YouTube,
That's awesome. So like
and.
last year, average weekend, how many events did you watch, right? I mean, it was some weekends you got to watch one or maybe two. This year, almost
Yeah.
everything is online. So we talked about a little bit last time, as much as COVID has really stunk and all the downsides, there's a ton of wrestling content, local high school wrestling content available streaming. And I know we're both hoping that moving forward, as things get back to normal in the years to come, that schools continue to stream, right? Because it's so awesome being able to fire up a duel and watch some high school wrestling from your couch, your car, not your car as a driver, your shop, your couch, your bedroom, whatever. That's one good thing that's come out of this.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like we watched when we were in Tulsa, we watched the Shakopee St. Michael Albertville Wayzata try. A
Sure.
couple different people brought it up on their phone. The tricky part is maybe just finding where to watch the stuff.
Yeah, so I wish everybody was on board. Not every school is, and maybe they don't all know, but on the Guillotine, there's always been an events page, and Jeff has got every event that people let him know about a stream, he's got posted on his events page, including a link to the stream. So you can go to the Guillotine and click on the events page, and you can see all the events he's been notified about for that day or that weekend, whatever, look into the future. But you can see all the events that are live streaming and click on them right there to open them up, which is super handy. Would be even better, if all programs knew about that and participated and published their links there. It's a nice little one-stop shop to see where high school wrestling in Minnesota is available to be streamed.
Okay, so is that on the events of the week, Al, or is that the events calendar? Oh wait, events of the week. Here we go. I did not know that, and now I do. I'm checking this out, man.
Yeah, and there
That
should
is.
be an email address on that page. I don't have the page up in front of me. There should be a little info at the top. You can send the Guillotine an email and just say, hey, Team A's wrestling Team B. Here's a stream link. It starts Friday at 6, and he'll post it, and the link will be there, and you can bookmark that on your computer, or your phone, or whatever, and go see a lot of different events right from there, which is super handy, especially if you're some sort of diehard wrestling fan who all of a sudden has an hour or two free and just wants to see what's going on. You can go click on that and find yourself something better than Grey's Anatomy or whatever to pop up on the screen. So, you know, one of the things that I noticed, and we've talked about this, is as schools are figuring out this streaming, everybody's at a little different stage. You know, some people have Facebook Live, some people are using Track, some people are doing YouTube or whatever. And a lot of streams at this point don't have, you know, wrestler names and individual scores and team scores. And that's something that we decided we were going to try to get done, was to have a streaming solution to help out. And we ran a pilot at Farmington last week. Farmington wrestled Shakopee, and we ran a kind of a little simulcast pilot. The normal stream was still available on Farmington's Facebook Live, which are streaming everything, which is great. But sometimes it gets a little difficult to see, you know, who's wrestling, what the score, the period, that sort of thing. And we're pretty happy. We believe we are set up now to do YouTube live streaming with an overlay that includes the wrestlers' names and the score and the team score and that sort of thing. And I'm hoping as time goes on, you know, other schools pick up similar setups, and because that kind of adds a lot to be able to see, hey, it's the third period and Hunter Frost is up 6-4. I thought he might be down 5-7. It's kind of nice having that. So, yeah, anyway, it's hopefully we'll
really
get
really nice
some
having
more
that.
Events. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, anyway, we'll do, I think I may do Farmington at New Prague this Thursday. I may stream on that. I got to talk to the coaches and see what's available there. But shout out to all the schools doing streaming, and hopefully moving forward, everybody keeps streaming, not just this year, but moving forward beyond this.
Well, Al, if you get over to New Prague on Thursday and you to stream that, you got to include your coach's cam again. I thought that was a cool idea, and it was certainly entertaining. So, to our listeners that, you know, wonder what I'm talking about here, like there was a situation in a match that was close, and Al fired up another camera and just, it was, Al, how would you describe, like a picture-in-picture?
Picture-in-picture, yeah.
So he had the camera, the picture-in-picture camera focused on the coaches and their body language and their reaction. And I think that could be very entertaining at times.
It can get extremely entertaining, right? Yeah. So hopefully everything works out, and I can get that going on in New Prague, and we'll give it another good test run. And you know, I was hoping early on, Josh and I, we've talked off air, and we were kind of hoping to be able to maybe do some more duels like that, and we'll kind of see how it shakes out between Farmington schedule and Simley schedule. We're not having a ton of luck of finding a whole bunch of free nights where we could just go pop into a duel and broadcast it, but we'll kind of see how things go. It's a fun little adventure, I guess, anyway, trying to get that. And once we're set up, we can do it without a lot of extra work. So, hey, Josh, speaking of dual meets, you mentioned last week you watched LPGE and BBE and a couple. We talked last time about Section 5, right, in single A. And yep. one of the comments or one of the interesting things we noticed is that LPG was ranked number one in the state, and they lost like just a ton of talent, right? They had a lot of guys graduate. Well, we were talking pre-show, and three of the top four teams in single A are all from Section 5. And I believe they've already tangled this year. Is that right?
Yeah, it's the craziest. I mean, they, I guess they weren't messing around. They got after it right out of the gate. LPGE Browerville, they were at the Minnewaska try a week ago here, and they beat Minnewaska 30-25. You know, so that was number one versus number four. And for LPGE Browerville graduating as many guys as they did, they reloaded pretty nicely, filled out some weights real good down low. Then, you know, so they beat Minnewaska by five. Later on in the week, they wrestled BBE, Belgrade Brutinel Rosa, who is ranked number three, and they beat them 27-26.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, talk about, I mean, the scheduling of this section is wild, man. And then BBE beat Minnewaska 30-25. So that section race is nasty, man.
All three of those duels coming out to less than a pin, right? Like 5-6 points max between them.
Yeah. Yep. It's just, that'll be a fun one to keep an eye on. And especially with, you know, like those are a lot of events that I probably wouldn't be able to make it up to, you know, back to the streaming part again here. I probably wouldn't be able to watch them, go see them in person just because of the conflict with our own kids
events. For sure.
But because of the streaming services that are being provided, it's extra credit, man.
Awesome. Hey, how about, you got any other dual meets you want to mention? I was going to ask you a question about some individual results, but if you have anything else you want to talk about from a dual perspective.
Well, just briefly, you know, because we watched that Shakopee. I watched that Shakopee St. Michael Wayzata try. Number two Shakopee beat St. Michael, who's number three, 37-30. And now number three, St. Michael Oberville beat Wayzata. And we talked a little bit about this matchup to keep an eye on. They kind of took it to Wayzata a little bit. They beat them 47-21. So I'm not sure, you know, I didn't, if there's a, you know, a guy or two missing from the lineup or what happened, you know, like I thought it would be a little closer than that. You know, actually, now that I think about it, I'm not so sure Caden Homey wrestled in that duel. You know what? He's a, like a 195, 220 pounder for Wayzata.
Yeah, he's a returning finalist. I have not seen a result with his name in it yet this year. And, you know, there's a number of schools where, you know, there's a guy missing I haven't seen a result from, and it could be anything from a minor injury to sitting a year out to, you know, I'm not sure. But I have not seen Caden Homey's name yet for Wayzata.
No. And I realize that's just one guy and it was a 47-21 duel, but I mean, that's probably a big one. And I'll tell you what, St. Michael Oberville is freaking stacked down low, man.
Yeah.
Their bottom weights are freaking tough. Another one that actually I wrote down because I watched it was ACGC. They're number two in class A. They beat number eight, Jackson County Central, 42-25. And that was on like, I think ACGC's YouTube channel that I watched that on. So nice. That was another match. I probably wouldn't make it to their school to catch the duel, but it was fun to watch on TV. Actually, my TV has not watched like regular TV in 2 weeks now. It's just used for streaming wrestling.
Excellent. That's the way it's supposed to be. Yeah. So yeah. Like that St. Michael Wayzata, right? That would be a potential section finals duel. You know, up in Section 5, yeah. And whoever wins that would possibly be looking at Shakopee in the semifinals state tournament as far as seeding goes, right? So you maybe have already watched a number of section finals and state-type duels that you never could have got to previously.
No way. Yep, no way. Not in the dual format. You know, maybe some of these guys, some individuals, you know, if we talk some individual matches, they maybe meet up in like the Christmas tournament. But
sure, at the Rumble, the Red, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of nice. That is that is one positive to this COVID season.
Sure. So, you know, speaking about individual results, I saw a Twitter exchange that you had with Cody Arnold. He referenced a match that I and Cody and a lot of other people were interested in. It was a rematch from a Minnesota number one match, I believe, right?
Yeah. Yep. He was asking about, he said, what did he say? Paint a picture of the DeBlair Cardinal match, something like that, right? And it was, so you got number one in AA at 132 pounds, Chase DeBlair from Simley. He's wrestling number one in AAA at 138 pounds, Derek Cardinal. You know, and Derek majored Chase at Minnesota's number one.
Right.
And I believe, you know, I'm not positive, but I think they've wrestled, you know, three times during, you know, the folk style season. And Derek led the series, well, I guess I shouldn't say folk style season, but in folk style, Derek led the series 2-1. One year they wrestled on the front side at the Christmas tournament, and then again in like the third place match.
Yep.
Then they met up here at Minnesota's number one, and now they met up again just this past Saturday. And it was like 6-4, I want to say, the score was. So Cardinal got a takedown right up.
That's not far off of the state title count with those two guys, right?
Yeah, because there's what, Derek's got three so far, and Chase has got two.
They have five between them, don't they?
Five of them, and they're not done yet.
Right.
Derek took Chase down to start the match off, and I think, if I remember correctly, he took him down to his back and got two near fall. He got out to a 4-0 lead, and then Chase kind of chipped away at it, got an escape. And he hit a blast double in the second period to take Derek down. It was 4-3. You know, then maybe Chase got an escape, or actually Derek maybe got a takedown in the third period. Chase got an escape. So it was 6-4. And Derek took a shot on the edge of the mat. And that it was the far, about as far away from where I was sitting as you could be. And they're, you know, like Chase's back was kind of me. I think he hit like just a super hard quarter Nelson and dumped him to his back and then ended up getting the pin there.
I've seen that out of DeBlair before.
Right. I mean, it was physical, and boy, it was crazy because the coaches decided that they, you know, that was the marquee match of the night, and it was definitely, I was not expecting a pin by either wrestler.
Well, you know, I'll be honest, I don't have a vested interest, right, in either wrestler or program. I just love watching good wrestling. And to me, it almost adds to, you know, kind of the mystique or the competitive series when someone in a close match ends up getting a fall, right? Because Their wrestling matches are as close to boxing matches as wrestling matches. Like, they're super physical, both kids, super tough, hard-nosed kids, both hate to lose, right? They're always entertaining. And to, like, throw a pin of some sort into that mix, that just adds to the intrigue for me, you know, as a wrestling fan, both ways.
Well, especially, you know, the match was 6-4 at the time. It wasn't like, you know, a left-handed headlock out of nowhere that one of the guys threw. I mean, the match was pretty freaking entertaining, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice to see high-level guys like that duke it out.
Well, and I love the fact that both coaches and wrestlers made it happen. You know, sometimes you'll see duels, a lot of times, unfortunately, you'll see duels like that, and whether it's to gain an advantage in the duel itself, team score, or simply to protect a record, or for whatever reason, there's a ton of duels that you have a match like that in that you can't wait to see, and then it doesn't happen. And I love that the coaches and wrestlers made it happen. I think that's awesome for all of them.
Yeah, and they made it happen with more matches than just that one. You know, they Brandon Mavari wrestled Parker Leiden. You know, Mavari's a 6-pounder for Simley, and Leiden's a 6-pounder for Forest Lake. Those guys wrestled at Minnesota's number one also. And I think Parker beat Brandon 5-0 there. And those guys met up again. And this time Brandon beat Parker 4-1. And most of that match was, to me, it seemed like it was spent in a scramble or like a leg pass situation.
Sure.
But, you know, like, I mean, there's those guys is wrestling IQ. I don't even know what they were doing, but I know they know what they were doing. So that was a big one that they made happen. And then Reed Nelson, you know, he wrestled for Forest Lake for many years, right?
Right.
And he wrestled an old teammate, Jacob Aho. And they're, you know, like they basically lined up their studs where they could, and they let them duke it out. So that was really fun to see. There wasn't any maneuvering going on, to say the least.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Another match I was thinking of, Al, that got my attention was number one in AAA at 113, Blake West wrestled the number two in AAA, Caleb Tennis, at that try over in Shakopee. Blake got the better of Caleb 4-3, but boy, that should make for an exciting state tournament matchup later on in the year, watching them two guys go at it again.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, there's that bracket will have some wild cards in there too, right? You know, is Charmoli from St. Francis mixed in with those two?
Yeah, he's,
you know, he's one of those can't miss kind of guys too. You never know what's going to happen when he gets on the mat.
Right. Has he been wrestling 120? I imagine he'll be down around 113 by the end of this season or whenever they need to start getting down there.
Sure.
Yeah, that will be, but that was a good match. That was a fun one to watch. Another one in that night was Cale Swenson, number one at 152 pounds over Jed Wester, who's number three. That match was 3-2.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cale's a senior, going off to SDSU next year, and Jed is a freshman, I believe. That match was, you know, I think, I don't know, if you would have told me it was going to be that close, I don't know if I would have believed you, but yeah, that was, we'll see what happens when those guys meet up again later this year, but that was close this time around for sure.
Nice.
That's probably, I don't know, there's probably more out there that I'm missing, Al, but.
Oh, I'm sure there's a ton. But yeah, that's some good stuff there. And again, those are all matches that you watched either in person or, you know, live streaming, right? The access to wrestling this year is so much better than it has been. And we've gotten frustrated in the past with certain, I don't want to point a finger at coaches or programs, but it feels like, you know, sometimes it's hard to find results for a team, right? Now we're able to watch these kids wrestle.
Yeah, no hiding those results from us this year.
No, it's awesome. Awesome. Hey, so one of the things I wanted to touch on, I was thinking it would be fun if we did just like a brief section topic, pick a section here or there. And I took a look the other day at section 2AAA, right? This is a section that you and I are intimately familiar with. When we first started hanging out, that was our section, right?
Yeah.
And that's a section that was dominated for years and years by Apple Valley teams, right? Super good Apple Valley teams. And, then, you know, teams like Shakopee and Farmington started coming. They were getting more competitive. Prior Lake is in there. They've always been tough, right? Coach Black has always got a tough squad out there on the mat. But, you know, there were a few years when Prior Lake was not quite in their heyday. not too long ago, Apple Valley, they graduated half of their squad, I think, to Augsburg, right? It feels like when I look at the Augsburg lineup, I see four, five, six guys that have a good chance to wrestle either this year or the next couple of years from Apple Valley. And Shakopee had some kids that had transferred in and whatnot, and it just felt like it was a division. Farmington moved out. They're now down in one AAA. Feels like for lots of reasons, it was just a section full of Shakopee, and that was kind of it. Well, I took a look, and just scrolling through the rankings, I found eight kids that are top three seeds, top three ranked in the state out of that section, meaning that if rankings held, which we know, you know, they may or may not, there would be eight guys from that section in the semis, and none of them would be like a 1-4 big underdog. And that's not counting Shakopee. So as good as Shakopee is, and they are good, I watched them wrestle, and they're a handful. Section 2 AAA, at 106, they've got the top two ranked guys there, Kaler from Prior Lake and Austin Lautenbach from Apple Valley at 106. They're the top two ranked guys in the state, both from the same section. You go up to 13, and Blake West is there from Shakopee, number one ranked. But you go up to 20, and there's Jory Volk and Coy Biskins, right? Lakeville North and New Prague, both out of Section 2 AAA. Up another weight class, Zach Hansen and Tegan Block, right? Lakeville North and Prior Lake, 1-7 in the state. Yep. Keep going up. Colton Bornholt is ranked number three in the state from New Prague. So we've gone through the first handful of weight classes and mentioned Blake West from Shakopee, but we've also mentioned like five top three ranked kids from that section who aren't from Shakopee. The you know, the for the last few years, a perennial favorite. You go up, you got the Novaks, Nick and Joey from New Prague, right? They're both top two ranked at 45 and 52. So I got really interested when I looked at that section, and certainly Shakopee would still be the favorite, I think, on paper, but that is definitely not a section that has Shakopee and a couple other unnamed teams in it. There are some hammers going to come out of this section, and there were times in the past when in the guillotine, different sections would be super proud, rightfully so, of how their section did at state. And I'm telling you right now, Section 2 AAA is going to be very well represented on the podium down at the state tournament. And they're not all Shakopee kids. There will be plenty of Shakopee kids mixed in. But that's a section that is coming back to the powerhouse, the ways of a powerhouse.
Yeah, there's some nice balance in that section, as you spell it out here for me. Especially down in the lighter weights, you know, you got Lakeville North, you got New Prague, you got Prior Lake, Apple Valley, another Lakeville North guy here. It's kind of nice to see up towards the top, though. I would say those Shakopee guys got a little bit of a stranglehold on that section, Al, with like the Johnson brothers and Jade Trailstead, who's having a really nice season at heavyweight for Shakopee.
Yeah, there's not a lot of places to hide at the top of the lineup. You know, a lot of times you might have a 95 or 220 pounder. You can shuffle around and get a better matchup. And I think Joey and Tommy Johnson have been 95 and 220 full size for like 17 years. I think
doesn't
they came
like
out
that?
Of the womb at 195 and 220.
And yeah, I always remember them two being 95 and 220. And
right. And I always assumed they would grow out of that, out of those weight classes, right? Because they were young. They were sophomores at 95 and 220 and full sized. And they're just still really full sized. And super strong. And like you say, with Trell set up there above them, that's a final three to be reckoned with for sure.
Oh man. That is a nice finish to a dual team. Holy smokes. But to your point, there is a ton of balance in this section, and they will score high as a section at the state tournament this year.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so that's my little tidbit on 2AAA. Like I say, I think we'll try to make it a point to pick out a section here or there, or a couple of sections, whatever, and just kind of touch on a little bit of what they've got to offer and what their rankings look like and whatnot. Let's get down to brass tacks, Josh. The big reason we really wanted to get a podcast out tonight, and the reason why we got together on Zoom, even though we couldn't in person, is because Friday night we've got something going on, do we not?
We do, man. It's got to be probably one of the biggest, everybody knows that this year is just duels or tries, right? No tournaments. But this has got to be the biggest try I've seen on anybody's schedule of the year. And since most of us can't go see them in person, and with the power of streaming, people can tune in and check this out. So Simley, your number one ranked team in AA, is hosting the Casson-Manorville Comets, who's number two in AA, and the Stillwater Ponies, who's number one in AAA, at the Simley High School for a try on Friday night.
So we have got the top two AA teams and the top AAA team all together in the same gym, literally 2 weeks into the season.
Yeah, and you know what? You just Allie, when you said the same gym, it just reminded me that I probably forgot to tell you about this, but they're actually wrestling the varsity duels on the stage in the auditorium. They got like a newly remodeled addition on the school or newly remodeled auditorium, and they're gonna wrestle the varsity matches in there. So I don't have a lot of history or
I
experience.
love it. I do. Shout out to Northwood, Iowa. We actually had our mats were stored on the stage in the Northwood, Iowa middle school gym where we wrestled. And we often would pull them off the stage onto the floor to practice or to wrestle and roll them back up and lift them back onto the stage at the end. But I'm super familiar with stage wrestling, and it's awesome. I can't wait. So speaking of can't wait, right? We might as well just spill the beans now. You and I get to be mat side for this. Is that not true?
That is true. That is actually one of the benefits of being with the involved with the media, right? We will be mat side and watching and doing a little play-by-play from our perch with the help of the good people at Track Wrestling, right?
Yeah, so Dennis and Eric are putting this event on. Is that not right?
That is 100% correct. Dennis Lemire and Eric Strock are working together, and there's going to be some production values. My understanding, it'll be similar to like Minnesota's number one, where they're going to have multiple cameras, multiple HD cameras going. It
Awesome.
won't be like a normal stream where you kind of got the little handy cam set up next to the computer. And I mean, this there will actually be real cameramen. There's going to be some lights. I think there's going to be some theatrics, because of the accessibility with the lighting and the music in the auditorium. And one thing that's really cool about it, kind of had like a pre-production meeting here last week, and I overheard Coach Will Short say that. So the reason it got moved to the stage, Al, is because the big gym at Simley High School, got water damage, and
Okay.
it's the floor is not going to be fixed by Friday night. So the powers that be were like, well, let's just move it. I think maybe some people in the school are like, well, maybe just move it to Casson or move it to Stillwater. And Coach Short, he flat out said, like, you know what? I got five seniors that are starting on this team, and they've lost too much already this season. They're not losing this. we're finding a way to, we're going to find a way to do it. And it turns out the stage was like 4 feet by 4 feet too small. He got a hold of Matt Tabor, who's a very handy guy. And he basically added onto the stage and they got the, you know, the mat's going to fit in there. And I think it should be a really cool event and pretty, you know, user friendly or easy to watch if you're watching from home.
Well, yeah. So I think the word we got was that this would be a pay-per-view event, right? It'd be like a $15 or something. It will get you this try as well as a try on Saturday that Simley has.
Yeah, because on Saturday they're hosting Albert Lee and Wyzetta.
Sure.
So that's like Saturday morning at like 9 and 10:30 and noon or something like that.
Nice. So
essentially get you, you know, six quality duels for that $15 price. There won't be the production value, and they won't have, you know, Al and Josh there together because you got to go. Where are you going Saturday, Al?
I will be. Where am I Saturday? I've got something going on Saturday. We've got wrestling. Yeah, I've got Thursday, Saturday for Farmington. Out of town, out of state on Sunday, and I'll be there Friday. So, yeah, I won't be there Friday or Saturday.
Yeah. So Friday night's the big one, right? That's with Dennis and Eric, you know, manning the cameras. And like I say, there'll be, what time are we going live?
So I think the first duel will be Simley and KM at 5 o'clock, and we're going to be live with a pre-show at 4:45.
I think that, man, this just sounds cool. A pre-show, like, this sounds legit.
Well, that's how we roll.
That is how we roll. You know, the significance of that match is, you know, 1 and 2 in the state.
So let's just touch on that. Simley and KM, right? They're two traditional powerhouses, two top teams in the state, and they're not the grand finale of this event. Now, the order of duels in this triangular is dictated by COVID policy or procedure, but you know, Simley KM is maybe the first duel that would happen either way, and that's the two best teams in the state in the whole Class AA.
Yeah, and that's the one.
That's the appetizer.
Yeah, that is the appetizer. You know, Simley's got 13 ranked wrestlers. Casa Manderville's got 6. There's going to be some potential awesome matches to watch. 152 pounds, Ryan Sokol could end up taking on Logan Vaughn. That'll be a fun one. You know, here's an interesting one, and we got to give a little shout out to Todd Hansen at We Sell, You Save Minnesota Realty, Al. If there's anybody in the market looking to move during in or around the wrestling season, give Todd Hansen a call because Cass and Manorville had an addition to their lineup here the last week or so. At 170 pounds, Cole Glazier from Albert Lee, their family relocated to Casson. So we could see Cole Glazier take on maybe Cale Berg or Travis Smith. And that, I'll tell you what, that was, I actually called Ann Glazier just because I had heard grumblings that they were moving. And I thought, well, boy, we'd be interesting or kind of fun to chat about on our show, right?
Right.
And I called, you know, I'm like, is this just an outhouse rumor? Or is this, you know, if you could tell me to, you know, shove it and mind my own business. Or, you know, if you share with me whatever you want, I guess, and then we can, you know, we can share with the listening audience. And yeah, Cole is at Casson. They loved Albert Lee, and it was a really not an easy choice for him. You know, she said there was a lot of tears shed, and just Albert Lee is got a ton of tough young light studs coming up,
right?
But they don't have a lot of in the practice partners in the area for coal. And after this year, there might be the cupboards might be pretty bare around there. So, and she really said the biggest connection, Cole made a huge connection with these, with the kids from Caston wrestling in those preseason dual tournaments, Al, you know.
Yeah.
You, I mean, there was, you went to a couple yourself and.
Yep, down to Bettendorf and.
Yeah, Bettendorf and like, you know, Wisconsin Dells, they were hosting them, you know, every other week, it seemed like. And,
right.
You know, Cole, you know, he's known those kids forever anyways, just, you know, the wrestling's a small world, but then there was just kind of a, just clicked with them on those dual teams and it made it really easy for him to, you know, basically say, hey, I'd like to wrestle with them guys during the season.
Sure.
So, you know, if people are wondering, you know, what the heck happened here, that was really probably the biggest driver, was just forging a friendship with those guys. And, well, I guess it's good for section, or for one AAA, you know, opened up, because he was in that monster bracket last year. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
With Luke Peterson, Cade Sheehan, Cole Glazier, and Jerez Ottridge.
Right.
It's going to open up a little room in AAA and, you know, congest AA a little bit more, but keep an eye on that match, that guy on Friday night. You know what's another potential matchup? I seen Bennett Berge's been wrestling some matches at 195.
Right.
So Simley's 195 pounder is Kay and Short.
Well, I've actually seen two 195 pounders in the national rankings from Simley. I assume you can only wrestle one per duel.
Can only wrestle. I think so. You know, unless the rules are different for COVID, but I would say it's only one. I think you there's a good chance you could see Kane and Berge match up, even though, you know, I'm just going off a hunch here. I don't have anything to back that up, but
right.
That could be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
That other nationally ranked 195 pounder will probably be is Gavin Nelson. He'll probably be at 220, and he'll be duking it out with Jackson Kennedy, the one of Patrick Kennedy's younger brothers.
Right.
So that's the appetizer right there for you.
And there's, you know, just scrolling through rankings, there's a bunch of other good matches mixed in there too, right? You didn't mention Duval or Smith or Winia or, you know, there'll be a ton of hammers wrestling in that first duel of the night, and it will continue to stay good or get better as the night progresses.
Yeah. There's, and the reason I didn't mention all the guys, is because we got to talk a little bit about them on Friday. So, I got to save some content for, our pre-show maybe.
Absolutely. Make sure you tune in. If you're listening, if you're going to tune into those duels, you might as well tune in early and get the good stuff from the Alan Josh show.
Yeah, man. Yep. So then Caston Manorville is going to wrestle Stillwater, the second duel of the night. Stillwater, your number one ranked team in AAA. Kind of the same thing. You know, I haven't seen any results with Reed Ballantyne in there in the lineup yet. I don't expect we'll see him. I can't believe this would be his first one out of the chute. But other than that, you know, it looks like it could be a pretty stout lineup. Matt Hogue at 132 pounds. You know, he was, what did he take, third in state last year? He won darn near 50 matches. Hunter Leiden, defending state champ at 170 pounds. We could see him and Cole Glazier duke it out. Ryder Rogotsky, Ryder and, you know, maybe Kale Winia. I'm sure they've wrestled a bunch over the years. I think they even wrestled a couple times this summer. Roman Rogotsky, you know, depending on what weight he's at, we could see him and Bennett Berge. Who else we got?
I've seen a third Rogotsky listed in a few results, Josh.
Yes. You know, when we talked about this last time, so Audrey Rogotsky, she'd be the third in the third out of four kids. So She has been getting some time at 106 pounds for Stillwater. And we could very well see her in the lineup at 106 and Dylan Doffenbach up at 113. How about that?
Sure.
Like, I thought, I knew there was a chance that she was going to get in the lineup. And how cool is that for the, you know, mom and dad Rogatsky? They got three kids.
Awesome.
Yeah, three kids that are, you know, starting in a lineup for the, that's ranked number one in AAA in the state. That's pretty freaking cool.
Hey, I'll tell you what, it's fun no matter what when you have a couple of kids spread that far apart. I had my two boys that were spread 5 years apart, and they got into a couple of duels up in Bemidji 1 year. And Farmington was not ranked first in the state, but they had a good, solid team. And I had both boys in there spread apart by a bunch, and it was super cool. I mean, it was a fun experience. So, yeah, that's awesome for the Rogatskys. And good luck with the nerves, parent Rogatskys.
Yeah, yeah, have fun, guys. yeah, you've lived it. It's pretty cool. I mean, when you can have – you got that many kids in the lineup. I mean, you get multiple kids in the lineup, especially when they're spread apart in age and size like that.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you have a pair of twins fought every day out of the womb till they're seniors in high school, that's one thing. But when you've got someone in middle school and a wrestler or two that's, you know, a junior or senior, that sort of thing, that's special. You know, that's one you need to make sure you get some pictures of.
Yeah. So what you got, Stillwater, Casson are the second match in the round of night out is Stillwater and Simley.
Both those teams are ranked nationally, right? So Simley is ranked second nationally in the rankings I've seen.
Yeah.
And unfortunately with this year with COVID, we aren't going to get to see some of the tournaments we may have, whether it's the Clash or the Christmas tournament or the Cheesehead, it just is what it is. But Simley is deservingly right up there near the very top of the national rankings. But I've also seen Stillwater in national rankings.
Yeah, I think they're in the top 30, aren't they? 25 to 30, somewhere in there?
Yes, yep. Depending on which you look at, they're right in there someplace.
Yeah, the... You know, and like I say, I know Reed's, I haven't seen Reed wrestle yet. So that obviously is going to hurt them for sure in this try, but they still got the horsepower, man. They got the, you know, they got the ponies. You know, hey, here's a
they've
interesting.
They've got the ponies.
They've
Look
got the ponies.
Go.
Here's a, here's the an interesting tidbit for you. Back to that Simley-Casson matchup. I believe either Simley or Casson Manorville have won the AA state championship for like the last 13 years.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, isn't it? Like, I think Simley started a nice run like in 2008, and then they ripped off a few of them, four or five, and then Casson Manorville got one, and then Simley got another one or two, and then Casson ripped off three or four, and now Simley's got the last couple. So, this isn't a matchup that usually happens during the season.
No.
So we are kind of being spoiled there a little bit.
I love it. You know, that's, and yeah, again, it's as much as COVID stinks, local and section teams only, right? Like coaches are going above and beyond. For instance, Will Short at Simley, right? Like he's looking around for matches, and he is super excited to take this team down to Iowa for a big tournament, and to the Clash, and to the Christmas tournament, and to the Cheesehead, or some combination, maybe not all those. I know that he doesn't necessarily attend all of those, but you know, he's looking for a mix of events like that to showcase his team, and he doesn't have that opportunity this year, right? So he looks around and he's like, let's host a try with the second or, you know, the other top team, the consensus number two team in AA, and let's bring in the best AAA team in the state, and let's just duke it out, right? Like, this is so awesome that we're getting an event like this in the regular season in a year like this, and everybody can watch it from whatever couch they want to across the state or outstate.
Yeah, I mean, that's – and a lot of these events are not you know, they're free, right? At least all the ones I've watched so far.
But sure.
Now this one is like $15, and then I think it's included with the Gold Plus package. I'm not positive on that, so don't hold me to that, Al.
But then that would be awful bonus. Nice, yeah. Because, you know, this year when a lot of wrestling is being viewed on, you know, via streaming, you know, there will probably be more Gold Plus members than typical. And if you can get an event like this included for nothing, you know, that's a nice little benefit.
Yeah, that's – and then you get the bonus. You get the Saturday matches with Simley versus Albert Lee and Wyzetta, who's ranked number four in AAA. So that'll be nice weekend of wrestling viewing pleasure.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, as far as streaming goes, it's great that people are doing it, and it's I applaud every, you know, manager or wrestler that isn't competing that weekend that holds an iPad in the corner and streams this so we can all see it. I love it, and please keep doing it. This try is not going to be that, right? It's not going to be Josh in the corner with an iPad pointing it at the match. It's going to be, I've got super high confidence in Eric and Dennis, and it will be a high quality event. From a camera work perspective, we know that they will have, you know, the scores, both match and team scores and clocks and all that will be available. We're going to have some top-notch commentating available. This will not be your run-of-the-mill event from a streaming perspective. It'll be a high-quality event for sure. On top of incredible wrestling.
Yeah, this is and what we're – heck, like I said, 2 weeks into the season. We're not wasting any time here. I tip my hat to the coaches and the teams for making this happen. They kind of given our – the, you know, people giving us the best wrestling we can see without, you know, we can't go sit in gyms and watch big tournaments this year. So I love it, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, these are the kind of things we'd be talking about a week before sections. Like, hey, what can we look forward to in the section finals? What can we look forward to at the state tournament for duels? You know, what duels do you wish you could have saw at the Clash? Well, we're getting to see him in week two. I think it's awesome.
Very, very cool. Okay, Al, what, you got anything else for us here regarding,
you know,
this weekend?
I don't think I do. I know this is a bit of a mess for us to get together like this. I wish we were sitting in Studio 2 together, mulling over these things. But it is what it is, and we will persevere like everybody else. And I'm super excited to kind of continue on. What do you got left here? You got anything left, Josh?
Yeah, you know, just looking through my phone here, some things I wrote down. Al, what's your take on the – this is leftover residual from Tulsa. What's your take on what I call the Wisconsin headbutter headgear?
You know what? You kind of got redundant when you said headbutter and headgear. You could have said either one, because yep. Once you said Wisconsin, I knew exactly what you were talking about.
So for people who don't know what I'm talking about, I think that like the official name is maybe the Morgan headgear. Is that,
yeah.
Does that sound right? It's the Morgan headgear. What do you think of that?
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh my gosh, man. Don't you?
And I'll be honest. I don't have a problem with the headgear itself. I really don't. The problem that I have is a personal issue, not like a real issue. Too many times I have been in the stands or in a corner and watched a kid wear that headgear and come charging out, like they're a bull, and you're waving a red flag at them, and they just charge with their forehead down. I don't know. I'm not sure where you're going with this. I
Well,
guess my summary is I'm not a fan of it. I am a fan of preventing concussions. I'm not a fan of wearing a headgear and headbutting with it.
oh my gosh, I laugh so hard at the youth level when I see a kid roll out in that thing, and it's like, oh man, is it a weapon or is it a headgear? Like,
Right.
at the youth level, you just see it, you see some of these crazy kids, man, or crazy parents that strap this thing on their kid, and then they're like, yeah, go get them, and they just put their head down and just smash your opponent's face or forehead into that like hard plastic.
It's terrible. And I mean, I'm a big fan of head and hands defense, don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of head and hands offense.
it's just, yeah, that's exactly what it is. It becomes head and hands offense, and if they're used for like actually concussion related things, I totally get it. But what I've always mostly seen them used for is basically, Al, if you and I are wrestling, I'm gonna smash your face with the front of my headgear.
Right.
It's just, oh, it's just brutal at Tulsa. I can't tell you how many matches I seen kids that come off the match after win or lose, the one who wasn't wearing the Wisconsin headbutt or headgear, their face looked like a hamburger, It's like,
Oh, it's
oh my
terrible.
gosh. Couple other things that, I just wanted to touch on. One of the schools that dissolved their co-op last year, right? So Wabasso Red Rock Central, they had been a co-op for a few years. They dissolved it, and Wabasso was on their own, and Red Rock Central was on their own. And the same thing happened the year before with Springfield and River Valley, I think. And I saw Red Rock Central started the season out 2-0, and I saw Wabasso got a couple wins to start their season. So I thought that was kind of cool that at a time when we maybe don't have as many kids competing because of COVID, and these programs that dissolve their co-ops are fielding a team and they're doing well out there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's great. Especially, there's a lot of people that look at co-ops and are like, well, they're just combining to make a better team, right? And certainly there are times when two schools combine and the team that results from that is a really good team. It just works out that way or whatever. But to see schools take the big step forward and split up and break a co-op and still be competitive and have a full, whether they're 100% full or not, but have full rosters and wrestle duels with their separate squads. That's, big hats off to them.
Agreed. That's probably about all I got. Well, one more thing here. I just want to say I appreciate the text messages that and phone calls I get from people throughout the wrestling community, basically kind of helping drive our content. You'll never hurt my feelings if you send me a text message that says, hey, did you see this match? Or hey, did you hear about this? Or hey, I think the Wisconsin headbutt or headgear is awesome. You don't know what you're talking about. I know, Al, we appreciate, any kind of information or DMs or tweets we get that, give us something to talk about and just make the show easier to make happen. So
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this year with the streaming, it may turn out that you watch two or three section five single A duels over the course of a weekend, and I or us or we know about section two triple A, but we're always on the lookout for good stuff. So we will never be offended if people send us, hey, FYI, keep an eye out for this kid or this team or this section. Yeah, we love that. Anything you can do to help us come up with ideas for our show, that's always welcome.
Yeah, always. That is it, Al. That is all I have. I'm looking forward to Friday night, and I got nothing else.
All right, I don't either. So I will see you, Josh, soon, and we will talk to everybody on Friday night at Friday afternoon at 4:45 at the latest, streaming on Track Wrestling, and we will watch several of the top teams in the state compete at Simley on the stage, Northwood Kensett style, and we'll talk to you later. See you, Josh.
Sounds. See ya.
Well, another great podcast. Great podcast. Time for the end of show wrap. Minnesota Wrestling representing.
Alan Josh is the podcast show. Just two guys that's in the know. Bringing the wrestling news episodes. You can sit and listen or hear on the go. Voices is smooth. Podcast is free. Many platforms for downloading. Minnesota Wrestling. Alvin, Josh, Raymond report the scene. High school, college, women, youth. Minnesota Wrestling is for you. Live from the kitchen, I'm your studio too. Can't wait for the next one. Stay tuned.